We're joined here today with John Wilson and John Anderson from the Clonmelin Tidy Towns Committee. And before we even get going, lads, I have to say the village has never looked as well. In all the time that I've lived here, the last maybe 2 years, the village has absolutely looked amazing, with a lot of lovely flowers hanging baskets and a lot of just general tidiness that's been going on. It's been commented on and complimented on, not just from residents, but also from people who have visited our lovely little village here in Clonmelin. And they have said that, you know, over the years it was kind of looking a little bit dilapidated and a little bit aged and weather-beaten, I suppose. And over the last couple of years, buildings have been painted, a lot of work has been done, there's hanging baskets, there's flowers, there's a general tidiness about the village that obviously hasn't been there for quite a long time. And people have been very appreciative of it, I suppose. And we have you two lads here today just to have a little chat and find out a little bit more about Clonmelin Tidy Towns. So, as I said, it's John Wilson and John Anderson.
Thanks very much. We'd like to say thanks for all the compliments you've given us there. We have worked very hard the last 18 months, not just ourselves. We've worked with lots of community groups and business people have helped us out in a huge way, financially and just in general support. And praise is a great thing. We love to get praise, so it helps a lot. We've worked very hard. You're definitely right, the last 2 years. So we started about 18 months ago, March 2018 now at this stage. We just kind of got together, three or four of us got the notion that we'd start up a Tidy Towns. No more than you said yourself, the town did need a little bit of a revival and a bit of work put into it. It had gone a little bit shabby in our opinion, and it's come a long way since then, and we're kind of halfway through a three-year plan, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. We have a lot done and more to do, as the politicians used to say back in the day. There was a Tidy Towns group years ago, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, it stopped in 2009. One of our starting points was to get the 2009 feedback and points and have a look over them and see what was done before, what were the positives and negatives that the Tidy Towns had come out and seen before when they were marking the town. And that gave us a starting point, you know.
In Tidy Towns, like it's since it started, it was, as John said, a group was got together, but it mainly came about with Tossie Henry, who actually asked us to come on board. It was his idea. And, you know, since over the last year, Tossie has since stepped down for medical reasons. And, I think it's only fair that we people should know that the Tidy Towns Committee was actually his brainchild as such.
Yeah.
So, as John has said, a lot of work's gone in for the last 18 months. And, we just want to take it forward again now over the next year or 2 years.
Okay. And, people who have been up and down the village during the week, I'm sure John Wilson is no stranger because you seem to be, you're like a modern-day Jesus. You're everywhere. You're omnipresent, I suppose, because no matter what time of day people are going through the village, you're out and you're doing something. And I'm just wondering how long or, how many hours a week do you spend out there?
The amount of hours a week that I put into it would be around 15, 20 hours. I come home from work, I get home at 5:30. Sometimes, weather permitting, I might get out for about 2 or 3 hours. But that's not to say that there's no other people helping us. There would be people on various sides of the village working. You might have people who are weeding the flower plants, the rose patches that we've just put in. Or you could have people walking up on the Kilscale Road, the Clallam Road. But mainly I'd be in the village. And I suppose that's where people would get to see me a lot.
Yeah.
Because, as you do see, the village is a lot cleaner. And that's where I sort of concentrate. We tend to have different areas to look after. So when you see me walking up and down the main street, although I'm there, I might be on my own sometimes, but there are other people doing work throughout the village as well.
And John?
That's it, yeah. So we have, it's a very wide network, really, our group at the kind of head of it. We have the three of us ourselves. Myself, John here, is the secretary of the group. I'm the the treasurer, and Martin McQuaid is the chairman. So all three of us kind of take different roles. John is definitely, no doubt, he's active out and about. I work in Dublin, so I wouldn't be home until 7 o'clock most evenings, and as it's getting into the winter, even it's dark, but I would do the treasury, and I'd do send a lot of emails and bits and pieces, kind of paperwork in the background, for want of a better word. And then Martin is kind of active during the week, so Martin does a huge amount of work as well. Martin coordinates, we have a TUS worker, which is a scheme worker who's absolutely brilliant. Andrew comes with us for, I think it's about nearly 20 hours a week, we have Andrew for. And then we have two other chaps who are community workers with us as well. So Martin coordinates the three guys during the week, during the daytime. I kind of do the paperwork in the background, and then John does a lot of kind of physical hard work on the ground, and absolutely no doubt he's a great man to go. And like you say, he's a beacon when he's out in the hives. You can't miss him working hard, and that's the backbone of it, you know. But like John said, people doing small things helps us, you know. People keeping their own front garden tidy, people just even coming up and saying to us, well done, and, you know, here's 20 euro, or make sure to call to us when you're selling tickets or anything. You know, it's a huge, it's not just three people, it's a community effort, really, definitely, between ourselves, the guys coming in working, the community groups, and then all the locals who, you know, give us encouragement and help us along the way. And again, like I said, the local businesses have been fantastic, so we can't forget them as well.
Just to take up on, you know, people from outside the area coming in and giving us, you know, good remarks. It was only the other day, Thursday, I think it was, I was out doing a bit of cleaning down by the church, and I was talking to an individual in the street, and this other individual came over to me, and like, he commented on the way that the village was, and he actually said, like I said, I was taken back actually, he had actually said that we, you know, doing a great bit of work, but the work hadn't gone unnoticed. So, you know, like, it was a person that I didn't recognise, but obviously he was passing through, and he must pass through a lot, and he took notice of the work that we were doing. So, you know, it just doesn't come down to one person. It comes down to a teamwork. As John says, you know, like we have a TUS worker. We have two people working for community service as well. So they do a lot of work. And, you know, without those actually two people doing the community service, a lot of work on the Killallen Road probably wouldn't have got done. There was a lot of trim hedging. A lot of work went on down on the Killallen Road, down where we have our wild bed flower growing. A lot of work went on there during the summer, and to be honest, without those two people and you know, getting stuck in doing that area wouldn't have been touched. So a lot of praise to them, a lot of praise to Andrew as well, who helps us, as John said, 20 hours a week, comes in, and he does the work that, you know, we're not around to do. So and to those who do keep their shop fronts up nice and clean and tidy, a lot of people have come on board over the last 18 months. As we said earlier, like big improvements, and we'd like to see that continue.
Well, as John just said, I mean, kind of, you are a beacon for the Tidy Towns Committee, because you're, as you said, you're up and down the main street so often. Well, I mean, are there any other volunteers? I know people will come along, and people will maybe throw a few quid in a donation, you know, a couple of quid for donations, and they may give you, you know, a pat on the back and say, sure, aren't you doing great work? But I mean, at the end of the day, I know it's only a small village, but you can't just have three people doing the Tidy Towns Committee. I know it really should be a community effort, and there should be a lot more people involved. And I'm just wondering, are there just the three of us, or are there other people? And if there are not more people, how many more people do you think you would need? Because obviously, John, you're saying you're doing maybe 2 or 3 hours a night after a day's work. That's a lot to take on board, and it wouldn't be too long before you'd probably get burned out doing that. But obviously, if there was more people on board, then responsibilities could be shared. And I mean, realistically, how many people do you think you would need?
I suppose what I would say about that is, absolutely, John's doing a huge amount of work, and a huge amount of work has been done. A lot of kind of physical work has been done, like painting buildings, you know, tidying up flower beds. We have a 3-year plan, and essentially we're moving into nearly a maintenance phase in that 3-year plan. So we've done a lot of kind of paint and buildings, but now it's just a case of keeping things ticking over. So in our minds, a lot of that physical hard work has been done, and now it's just kind of more keep it ticking along, and then kind of look at the other areas. And it's key to point out that the community, or sorry, not the community, the Tidy Towns, isn't just like it's evolved a lot even in the last 10 years. It's gone very much away from just keeping the place clean and tidy and flowers and a few flower beds. It's a much more wide ranging thing. You get a lot of points for cross community work, you get points for working on ecological type projects, you get points for working on community projects. There's lots of areas that the Tidy Towns cover, so it's not just, you know, clean footpaths and nice flowers and whatnot. They are, you know, the kind of core idea of it, but it's definitely a wide-ranging thing. Yeah, you're right, volunteers are something we need. Every little piece of literature we put out there, at the bottom we say, we put our email address, any volunteers and any ideas welcome, because we love to see people coming and helping us. We're very approachable, and we always encourage people, if you see us out and about, just tap us on the shoulder, have a chat, tell us what you can do, and we'd be delighted to help. Yeah, you're right, as regards, we have a small enough committee, but and we have lots of people doing little bits, like maybe welding little bits of steel, or the men's shed here have put together benches for us, so there's lots of other little things people are doing. But yeah, you're right, we do need volunteers. I suppose that's a chance to advertise our meeting. Our AGM will be on towards the end of September. We haven't set a date. We're hoping to get the points back, the feedback from the Tidy Towns committee, the national one this year, the competition, bring that to the AGM and kind of have a starting point going forward. But yeah, we if anyone out there listening to the podcast, come out to the AGM when you see it advertised, and we'd love to see you come on board. The more the merrier. Like, we can't put a limit on it. Yeah. As many people, like, if we're doing 10 hours on a Saturday and 10 people do 1 hour, isn't it great? It's much better than one person doing 10 hours. So yeah, we'll take all the help we can get. We'd love to see people come on board.
Just in relation to, you know, people coming out to help, like, I sit down and I think and I look at the village and I look at the young population that we have. So for me, and like, we'll bring it up our next meeting, a young Tidy Towns is probably the way for us to try and get people out. There's, like, I'm getting on in years. I'm not as young as, you know, a lot of people in this village. So I look towards the younger families here who have, you know, 2 or 3 kids coming up at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, that type of years. Now, like, we're doing, initially, you know, we started this, but, you know, we won't be doing it all the time. So if the way I look at this is, if we can get the village up to a certain spec and get it up to the way that we'd like to see it and the way people in the village would like to see it, then the next generations are the ones that are 6, 7, 8, and their parents, who are a lot younger than us, they're the ones who will need to, you know, get involved in this. So, you know, John is right. We do have a lot of people doing different bits and pieces for us. But from going forward, in order to keep the Tidy Towns going, it's the younger generations with young kids, the younger parents, they'd be the ones who I'd like to focus on to get out. Although we do see them out and about, I understand that, you know, kids are into a lot of other things. You know, that they are busy, work-wise and everything else. But it's just to make that effort. As John says, 1 hour. If 1 hour on a Saturday and 4 people come out, that's four working hours, that's 4 man hours. So that makes a big difference. So going forward, I'm hopeful. I always look on the bright side of things. I do believe that these young people will come out eventually, and they will. Once they see, they do see the work that's going on. But we will always try and encourage the younger generations and the younger parents to come out and do a bit. So that's, you know, that's the way I would look at it.
And just in respect to the young people, we have the playground as well in the village, and that playground has been there for quite a while. It was actually closed at one stage because I know someone set fire to some of the items in said playground, and from what we heard, like, it was deemed as dangerous and it could not be reopened, and there was a chance that we may lose the playground. But the playground is now back, it's up and running again, and I've noticed from time to time that it's like the rubber mat inside the playground, it's lifting in places and it's all over the place. Now, is that something that you guys, is that something that, you know, can be tackled by, let's say, the county council? Is it maybe substandard material that's in that, or is it just pure divilment going in and digging the thing up?
Yeah, so the main contact for the playground is the steering committee or the community council in Clamellan. So essentially they deal directly with the county council on that, and they have done, and they've done a huge job launching it, getting it there in the first place. They've done fantastic work getting it there. It is unfortunate that the matting is coming up. For whatever reason, I don't know really why it's coming up or what's happening. I guess when you look at other playgrounds, I was in one in Trim there about 2 weeks ago. They had a slightly different matting with grass going up through it. So I guess it's for the community council to meet with the county council and maybe look at an alternative surface. To me, maybe the surface isn't 100% in terms of the is it fit for purpose is the question I'd ask. You know, people can say, oh, you know, children or anyone lifting it up or tearing it or whatever, or, you know, it wear and tear, whatever it is. But it's for kids. So if it's not designed to cope with kids poking, and that's what children do.
Yeah.
They pull and poke and they'll swing. And if you give 10 kids a swing, 8 of them will swing and 2 will just pull out of it and drag it. And that's what it is. But if the swing is strong enough and, you know, properly made, it'll cope with that. So, you know, maybe I think they do not need to look at an alternative surface type, maybe take up the rubber matting and put something better down that will cope with, you know, all sorts of activity and, you know, a bit tougher, I guess.
Yeah, well, on the playground, like, maybe it does need to be revisited again, although the council did come back and they did do a bit of refurbishment in it. And as John says, like, kids are kids, you know, like, you'll have some kids who'll play, some kids who'll pull and poke, and some kids who are just more active, and they see a little tear and they pull it. And that's the way children are. We know that from having, you know, those of us who, you know, have kids, they like that at home as well. So it's not just the playground. So John is right. The county council, maybe somebody should, you know, it'd be nice for them to be approached and ask them to have a look at this again and see what they can do with the playground.
Okay, just in relation to dog mess, I know in your bulletins, your newsletters, that you have referred to and asked people like to not be letting the dogs out and fouling the footpaths, and you have put up some signage around the village, and we're still, obviously the problem still persists, but it doesn't seem to be as bad from what I've seen, but there are still people who, and I think everyone probably knows who it is, there are still people letting their dogs out at night just to roam around freely and foul footpaths and common areas, and is there any more that can be done about that? I mean, obviously we can't go and, you know, start arresting people, but is there something else? I mean, the signage seems to be working to some degree, but people are still not getting the message, and it's very unsightly, and, you know, it's dangerous.
Yeah, I suppose, like, I come from a construction background, and there, and a lot of big sites, you'd have what's called a tap-in. So you see something go wrong, you just tap someone on the shoulder and say, here, tie your laces or secure that ladder or whatever. Maybe we just need to ask people, if you see someone with their dog out, to just tap them on the shoulder and say, here, will you clean that up? So maybe it's a community thing. As a community, we need to encourage people to talk to each other and to, you know, give someone a little prod if they do see the dog out and about and doing this, that and the other. But you're right, it's improved a lot. The signage has helped. I think getting the word out there, and even us kind of up and down and sweeping and tidying, probably cleaning up a little bit of here and there, has helped as well. But yeah, it's, you know what though, I don't think it's as bad as a lot of places. It's there, and like, it's like the kids at the playground, there's always going to be a certain amount of it. It's hard to avoid dogs or dogs. They do what they do. It's with the best will in the world, it's hard to stop a dog doing what they do. But yeah, like, I'd hope that people out there, and again, if they're listening to the podcast, just if you see someone with a dog and they're not cleaning up, tap them on the shoulder and say, would you mind doing that? You know, the village is for everybody, not just for you and your dog. And would you mind picking it up and tidying up, you know?
Yeah, this is an ongoing problem, not just here in Clonmel. Like, I've spoken to a lot of committee members from different areas, and dog fouling is a big problem. But you're right in what it says. Over the last 18 months, last year, especially when we first entered, we concentrated on cleaning. And I have to say, like, to Allied Waste, a big thank you to them, Allied Recycling, sorry, a big thank you to them. Like, I think we took over a ton of dirt from the village last year, and that was just concentrating on clean. So a lot of, you know, we did notice a lot of dog poo, a lot of dog fouling as well. And John was right, we put up a good bit of signage, and we spoke to people about it, and like, a lot of people did take it on board, but as you say, there are some people who do just let their dogs roam. So we would say to those people, if your dog needs to do any type of business, has to do with business, please, you know, please do yours and go out and pick up after. Don't just leave it there, because it's not only a disgusting thing to see walking through any village, but now that the kids are back in school, The footpaths need to be kept clean, and the diseases that dog fouling brings with it. You know, they walk on that, they bring it into the home, it's in through the carpet. And we did do a piece on the type of diseases that it did bring. We put it up on our Facebook page. So a lot of improvements, a bit more way to go, but it has improved big time.
Great stuff. That's not an unreasonable request, just to ask people to pick up after the dogs. And the little bags, they're not that expensive.
No, you can get them, like I go to Ann Leonard's, who seems to have everything, or you can get them in day to day. They're only a euro bag. The local shops sell them, you don't have to go too far for them. Even when you're out there in your local shop and in the supermarket, you come across them. So it's just a matter of thinking when you take your dog out, or if you know that your dog is, you're not letting your dog out, pick up a bag, go out and pick up the dog's business. And help us to help keep Clonmel, dog fell free.
Absolutely. It's a great thing. I think it was last year, John, we were treated to RTE Nationwide, and Tidy Towns Clonmel were actually on Nationwide. They came out, they visited the village, and I think they'd done the village proud. They'd done a lovely little piece. Because, you know, it wasn't a hit piece on the village in any way, shape or form. It was very very pro Tidy Towns. And I'm just wondering, the whole thing around the RTE Nationwide programme, how did that come about? Did you contact them? Did they contact you? And when they came out, the whole, like, this thing about being on the TV and all that, did it phase it in any way, shape or form, or was it very exciting?
How that came about was that RTE were doing a segment on Tidy Towns, and I believe that they heard about Clonmel coming back into it after 10 years. And I think that was the line that they were working on, the interest. Why did you come back in after 10 years? So it was Paula Cullen there was an email sent to Tidy Towns Clonmel, but I hadn't seen it, and it was Paula Cullen then who called a meeting and told us all about RTE having an interest in coming and what they were looking for. So initially it was an initiative on RTE Tidy Towns Nationwide. Yeah. And I think Paula did a good day's work in getting the meeting organised and trying to get various groups to meet with RTE.
Yeah, so they came out in a lovely sunny evening. I don't know anyone that saw it on the TV, and they absolutely did the town justice. It looked so nice, and it was well shot, it was well put together, and it really looked the part. I know I wasn't on it personally, I know John was on it. Were you nervous, John?
I was a bit nervous. I did a piece on Isaac's Well, and the monument that's down at the Kilrush Road. First time ever to be on TV. It was nice to do. It was nice to be able to represent Clonmel, and the show itself went down very well.
Will you be pursuing an acting career?
I don't think so.
Well, anyone who hasn't seen the piece from Nationwide, if you actually go on to the local website, clonmelon.com, click on the link for Tidy Towns, there is a link to that actual piece, so you can check it out. You mentioned Allied Recycling there, John, and we know that they have donated some ground, and you've been instrumental in setting up an allotment for local people, and it was well publicised, well published, and people were offered the use of the allotments to go along and plant whatever they liked. And we have seen some of the fruits of their labour, so to speak, because we got a big bunch of, I think it was a cabbage, was sent down from one of the locals who had grown a lot of cabbage. I'm just wondering, can you tell us a little bit about the allotment, how that actually came about? Did you approach Allied Waste in relation to the ground, or did they just offer the ground, and how has it been going?
Yeah, the community garden came about, in Tidy Towns, we approached Gary O'Neill, who owns Allied Recycling. They got talking to him about a piece of land that we are looking for to set up a community garden. Yeah, Gary was very, very helpful, not only in giving us the land, but he also helped with the, you know, putting down hedging to help keep it, you know, clean and tidy. And a lot of people came on board. We have about 10 plots taken now. And as you said, you refer to the amount of vegetables and fruit, well, not fruit, but a lot of vegetables being grown, and plants as well, flowers. There's a lot of versatility in the garden. There's a family who suffer badly with hay fever, I think, and they can't grow flowers or have a green grass at home.
Yeah.
So what they do is they bring the children over, they took out a plot, and they plant their flowers there. So that's, you know, it's a way for families to come and meet. It's a gathering for, you know, not only young people, but old as well. It's a good family day out. It's a good way of meeting your neighbours, you know, if your neighbours have a piece in the plot as well. So, yeah, overall, it was a big achievement for us. In talking to different 20 towns, it took them years to get a community garden. We're very lucky that we had somebody who was willing to help us and get it up and running within the first year of us coming on board. You know, so again, like we can just thank everybody who came over and took out plots and for all the great work that they do. We do publicise in our newsletter and on Facebook as well. So there are still plenty of plots out there if people want to come over and have a look or would like to take out them. Again, you can find us on Facebook or you can say, you know, send us an email at 30townsclamel at yahoo.com.
Gmail.
Oh, sorry, at gmail.com.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. Like, I don't know, does anyone remember that square ground before we started? Essentially, there was trees, overgrown ground, shopping trolleys, beer cans, beer bottles. It was just a complete wasteland. So probably it's our biggest success, I think. Even just converting it, if we just turned it into a lawn, you know, and cleaned it up, it would have been a big success. So what it is now is so far removed from what it used to be in terms of the community and the use for it. We're very proud of it.
Yeah, it's something that the whole community should be proud of as well, because you know, the way the people helped us and came up and were enthusiastic and coming over and showing their support. Going forward, we'd like to see more people come in. There's a bit of a challenge now, I think, for us. Like, it's and we have an OBC for a 1,000-litre OBC for holding water, but I do believe there's a new form of water charge coming in. And, you know, this is going to be a challenge for us because we're going to have to find a way to gather water because we couldn't expect people to be paying for water for an IBC for everybody else to use. So that's going to be a challenge. And if anybody out there has some ideas as to how or where there might be an area where we could put an IBC to gather water and filter it and have clean water for the community garden, I think that would be a big help for us. So, yeah, anybody with any ideas, please do contact us.
Well, just in relation to the water, I know a group in Dublin, they've actually gone around and, you know, the old water pumps, that there's one there in the village and there's one up the Killallen Road. A lot of groups in Dublin have actually restored those to working. They've actually painted them up and they've got them pumping water again. Now, obviously, the water, I believe, is not kind of for drinking, but it could be used for the likes of the community garden, etc. So, I mean, I don't know if that's something that maybe further down the road it could be looked at in order to try and get those working again, because I believe once they're there, like there is water under the ground and it's technically a free source of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. One or two people have said that to us. So we're going to contact the county council about that because essentially they would own that those pumps and they'd be in control of them. Another area we've looked at maybe is the community centre or even Allied Recycling using their buildings and the rainwater, trying to channel that down into a container. So look, like John said, any ideas, absolutely, that's a great one. So we'll chase it up for sure, yeah.
There's also, in one of the newsletters, you were talking about the bee pollinator. Now, we all know how important bees are to our life here on this planet, and people do say that if the bees go, we won't be too long after them. Is the bee pollinator up and running, and have you had much success with that?
Well, tidy towns, as we said earlier on, it's not just about keeping your village clean and tidy and just putting down plants. It does. It's a wider agenda now.
Yeah.
Pollinators, as you've just said, pollinators are in the decline. We envisage that we try to put pollinator flowers as much as possible into the community. We've put a pollinator bed, a wildflower bed, up on the Killallen Road, and people would see it there as they passed by because we got a lot of comments on it, on how colourful it was. So from our part in trying to help with, you know, keeping the pollinators going, and we will introduce as far as possible more new flower beds hopefully, you know, pollinate our flower beds next year, provided it's feasible for us to do it. We do have a vision as such to try and get more people in their houses, in their back gardens, in their front gardens, to plant pollinator flowers, friendly flowers, and to help restore, you know, this balance that needs to be restored. Community, you know, community involvement in this is very important. You know, it's not just a Tidy Towns issue. It's a countrywide issue as such. I mean, we hear a lot about it from the community councils and the initiatives that they do. Some councils, I believe, are putting pollinator flowers down along the motorways where they have the greens. So what they've done is they put wildflowers down there. So that seems to be a good way to go. And it's maintenance-free. It's an ideal way for us to help. As I said, like maintenance-wise, you just plant them, leave them, and they come and go all year round. So a little bit of water here and there, maybe, you know, but overall, it's an easy thing to do, I think, but it's bigger, you know, it's a bigger thing that we have to look into.
Yeah.
And I think that as we go forward, we will learn a lot more about pollinators and about what we can do as a Tidy Towns group, but also what the whole community can do, education-wise.
Yeah, like if anyone's curious as to how to do it, it's so simple. €20 will buy a box of these wildflower seeds. It's about the size of a carton, a 1 litre carton of milk. All you do is till up the ground a little bit and shake them over it in kind of February, March, April, any time in that time frame, and away they'll go. Even when we put it down, we're a little bit doubtful. It kind of took 6 or 8 weeks to take off. We saw what we thought was weeds at the start. We were actually doubting ourselves. Then 6 weeks later, all of a sudden, we just had beautiful flowers, and we still have them now in September nearly. So probably another 3-4 weeks. So you get 6-7 months of beautiful flowers, and it's such a simple thing to do. If you're curious in your own garden, a nice thing maybe to do is plant daffodils. They come up February, March, and your wildflowers will come up then, you know, from April, May through to September, and you'll have flowers from February to September in your garden, and it's a nice simple thing to do. As John said, we've plans to do it a little bit more. For us, it's a win-win because it's almost maintenance-free, and like I said, we're kind of moving into out of the hard work stage and into just keeping things ticking over and maintenance stage. So for us, wildflowers are brilliant from a work point of view. You just put them down, they look beautiful, and away you go. It's such a simple thing to do, you know, and great for the environment as well.
Just on that as well, I know a local school, I think they have 2 green flags. I could be wrong, but I'm sure they have 2 green flags. So a local school and a local youth, you know, the fact that they have these green flags shows that they're, you know, they're doing work in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be something that we could look at, you know, from the Tidy Towns point of view, is trying to get involved with the school. And maybe they, you know, the young kids, you know, from the school could do projects for us in this.
That's it, yeah. So one of the cross-community things we get, or you know, one of the areas we get points for, is to work with local groups, and obviously the school is one of the key focal points of any community. Clamellan National School is a big school with a lot of children, a lot of great ideas and enthusiasm. Last year we just had the simple idea of asking the children to do a survey, so from our point of view, it was great to get feedback, and then obviously it gave us the link with the school. The main thing that came back in the survey was about flowers. So this year we put a huge effort into hanging baskets and flowers around the village. And outside of that, like, there was very little, there was no negative feedback. Outside of that, it was just, you know, a little bit more colour in the village, but keep doing what you're doing. The children brought the surveys home, and some of them did them themselves, and some of them asked their parents to help them out. And we'll probably do something similar in the next few weeks. You know, it's kind of a feedback loop. We do a bit, we ask people, what do you think, have you any ideas, anything you'd like to see more of, and then we try and respond to that. And yeah, the hanging baskets was a big one this year. We're kind of still debating, we'll probably talk about it at the AGM whether or not to do it next year. It was a huge amount of work, really.
Yeah, we had on average around 28 hanging baskets in the village this year. Well, compared to last year, we had none. So, and they are very expensive. And I think I'll be, you know, right to point out that we spent the best part of €1,700 on flowers alone, hanging baskets, flowers, and the new fiberglass potting plants that we have out, on the, you know, out the street. So hanging baskets take a lot of time, a lot of watering, and as John says, this is something that we have to look at, And again, in connection with the water, you know, with the water fee and everything else, that's something that we have to be mindful of, you know. So, we do have a few, ideas that we want to sit down and discuss. And maybe next year, the village will be a lot, again, will be colourful next year. But, you know, we may decide not to put out too many hanging baskets and just reduce the amount that we have.
Okay. You both spoke about the points where, obviously, with the Tidy Towns Committee, we're awarded points for different aspects. But I'm kind of getting from listening to both of you here that it's not all about the points. There seems to be, like, an energy coming from both of you lads that tells me that you're not just doing this for the points. I think you're doing it because it's making a difference to the village. That's what I'm getting.
Well, you're right there. It's not just about the points. It's about the village. It's about what we want for our village, what we want for our young people, how they see their village. You know, do they want a clean village? Do they want a dirty village? We want a village where it's a very active village. There's where they can maybe sometime down the road have a bit of employment into it. And I'm saying there's no employment, but, you know, there'll be something there for them to challenge them to keep the village going. For me, I like a nice, clean village.
Yeah.
The energy for me it's a challenge. The points end is a challenge. The work that we do, the recognition, a bit of recognition that we get from local people, outside people. But for me, yes, we start a project from my end of it. We start a project and we finish it through. And then it's nice to be able to look back and say, that looks well. That went well. Oh, what can we do to make it better? And the challenge now will be for us this year is to see whether or not we get extra points for all the work that went on over the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with John there. I'd be the same. Like, I have a small child and I just want him to grow up in a nice place to grow up. And I suppose for me, the starting point is to have it looking nice, you know, and then obviously lots will follow on from that. As a village, I suppose Clonmelan's kind of, it's very much a commuter village. Like, when I go to work at, 6:30, 7 in the morning, you see a train of cars going out, and then when I come home in the evening, it's the same. I'm not even around during the day, but any days I've been off and at home, it's a very quiet place during the day. Like,
yeah.
Someone once said to me about Clonmelan years ago, is that the place with no people? Because I think it's because the street is so wide,
yes.
It's so unusual, that even if there was 100 people in Clonmelan, you'd barely notice it because it's such a big, wide street. That's an asset in a way, because it's great for parking and it's a beautiful place. In terms of the demographics of the village, I think there's a lot of people going in the morning, coming home in the evening. It's very hard for them to do anything, but, you know, like we said, we're around on a Saturday. If people have even 20 minutes, half an hour, anything, as small as if you're walking down the street and you see a bottle, just pick it up and put it in the bin. Like, we've campaigned at the county council, and great help from the steering committee and the community council, we got nearly all our bins changed. They were falling apart. Brilliant help. Paddy Hill, the councillor, really, we can't praise him enough for the support he gave us. So the bins are there, and, you know, the council come, empty them all the time, use them. That's just a small thing, pick up a little bit litter, or better still, don't throw it on the ground at all. You know, we'd love to see that too. But yeah, that's just the nature of the village. Back to what the question asked, I suppose, yeah, that we get, it's a feedback thing. We do a little bit, you get a little bit of praise, that gives you more encouragement to keep going, and that's kind of how it works, really, I guess.
Yeah, I'll just finish up on that and say, yeah, it's a personal thing. For me, it's personal. It's just what I enjoy doing. I don't mind being out during the night. As I said earlier on, I understand the family life these days, both parents having to work, maybe not having that time. But as John says, Saturday, you'll see us out on a Saturday, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't make any difference how much time you give. So long as you give a bit of time, it would be a big help. You know, like if 5 people gave 15 minutes each, that's, 65, 70 minutes, which would be a big help to us, so.
And it's not just Saturday. I mean, some people may say, oh, my Saturdays are busy. Well, the village is here 7 days a week. And as John said, I suppose, you're walking along and you see a piece of litter, and there are a lot of new bins we have, they're the big bins, and there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. I mean, if people do, if they're out walking their dog or walking down to the shops and you see something, pop it in the bin. It's not just, kind of Saturday morning from 10 to 11. It's 7 days a week.
Yeah, right there. It's not just Saturday morning. It is 7 days a week. I think the best way to, for me, to try to get this across is that I'm in the Scouts. We have a motto, leave no trace.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you go out, we go off with the weekends team and we go camping. We, you know, at the end of the day, we'll do a walk around and leave no trace. And that's what I would say to parents. Parents teach their kids when they go out to pick up, you know, rather than throw it on the street or to keep it in their pocket or put it in the bin. That's, you know, that's leave no trace. And that's a big start for the next generations to come up. It's, you know, it's all about parents, you know, bringing their kids to the shop, giving them a bar and just saying to them, don't put that on the ground. There's a bin there, put it in your pocket, or bring it home, put it in your bin. So, as you say, it is 7 days a week, but everybody can play a part in trying to reduce the amount of dirt that goes down. And I'm sure somebody somewhere can find 15 or 20 minutes of the time.
Exactly.
Can I just say, like, we do collect probably about 3 black bin bags of rubbish just randomly on the streets every week on average. So that's 150 bin bags a year we've been collecting for the last 18 months. But the big thing I've noticed is as time goes by, there's less and less. I suppose because there was that 10-year gap with the Tidy Towns, there was lots just of residual rubbish around the town that we picked up out of hedges and ditches and old bikes and prams and all sorts of odd things. As time goes by, we're finding it's easier and easier and better. And I guess if the town is sparkling clean, it's a lot easier for someone to just say, oh, you know, I'm not going to throw any rubbish because the place is sparkling. Whereas if there's 10 other pieces of rubbish, what's number 11? What difference is that going to make? The funny thing I heard was about a village in Limerick where Paul O'Connell, the rugby player, is from. And they said they did a recycling drive and they used to have him as the local celebrity to come down every year. And they would tidy up and they'd get 2 or 3 trucks and they'd have prams and sofas and all sorts. And they said it was the 7th year before they got to a point where they went out in their village drive and there was nearly no rubbish to pick up. So it doesn't happen overnight, but we've noticed in the 18 months, first of all, getting the residual rubbish and then just tidying the place up. We do think people are thinking twice about throwing their rubbish now because the place is clean. Who wants to dirty a nice clean town, you know?
Exactly. And we just make a note as well that there are little pickup devices that people can get. You don't even have to bend, you don't have to stoop. And we know some people actually do go around the village with these little pickup devices. I don't know what they're called, but they're for picking up rubbish. And you can pick up rubbish. I'm assuming there's probably one as well that could be used for people picking up dog mess as well. I don't know if actually such a device exists, but if it doesn't, it should. Because even that would be beneficial, you know, because obviously people don't want to be bending down and picking up dog poo. So that might be something to look into. I just want to move on because I know we've talked about the flowers and the hanging baskets and the effort that goes into that. And John, you said last year you spent the committee spent €1,700 on all the flowers and getting all that done. Are there any grants available, or is this all kind of just based on donations?
A bit of everything. We have to thank Kilua Castle as well. Give us huge support, Isaac's Well. You know, all sorts of companies around. Billy Clover out the road here supported us. Paddy Cattle supported us. The two shops, Day to Day. The guys in Ray's sponsored us. So, yeah, we've gotten a lot of sponsorship and help from the local businesses. And we've run one or two kind of our own little fundraisers here and there as a long way. Actually, Sunday week we've our next fundraiser. That's the 15th of September in Isaac's Well. We're going to be selling tickets for that, so we'll plug that €10 ticket if anybody would like to come. Or even just to support us to buy a ticket is great. In terms of where did I start out with that? I just started plugging our tickets.
Well, I just wonder if there's any, if the county council any grants available.
Yeah, so we have applied for grants at the county council. They're hard got. The funny thing about the grants is that you have to have a lot of money to, let's say you want to do a small project. The best example I can give is we're looking to paint the playground area. There's an old tower area up near where the playground is. We're looking to paint that. We go to the county council and let's say it costs €1,000 to paint it. We have to get it, procure it, paint it, get 3 quotes, and which we've done. We're down to our final quote. We have them. We have to get it done. Someone has to come out and inspect it. Then they will approve the grant. And then about 6 weeks later, we get the money back. But no company is going to come and paint a playground on the promise of, oh, we're getting a grant. And on top of that, it's only 75% of the money.
Yeah.
So The way we've had to do it is raise the money, pay for it, and then you claim it back from the county council. Like, if there's one, like, county council are brilliant, but if there's one criticism of the funding model, I would say, is that you have to have the money to do it. But if we had the money, we'd just do it. You know, exactly, we wouldn't go looking for a grant because we have the money to do it. And the thing is, you need the money to get started. So the grants are there, definitely. That's the community enhancement scheme, the community enhancement program, that's called. They've granted us a few different bits and pieces we've gotten from them, and they've been brilliant. They actually just gave a general grant of nearly €1,000 a year to all county or tidy towns committees, which is brilliant. Like, that covers our insurance and gets us going in that sense. So that's great to have. Their brilliant support. And then the Tidy Towns competition itself, we're crossing our fingers, really. There's different prizes for that, and it's cash prizes. So we're hoping we're going to be one of the most improved this year. We started at a very low level 18 months ago, so we're really crossing our fingers that we might just get that prize this year.
Yeah, just on that, the finance end of running Tidy Towns is colossal. And as John says, if you want to do a project and you need help from the county council, that's the way we have to, unfortunately, that's the way we have to go about it. We were just fortunate enough that we had that fuel bulb there that we didn't spend yet. That's earmarked for our stuff, you know, that we want to buy in the next couple of months. So as long as that's, you know, that's the way the council, that's the way they do their grants, like as John says, you know, maybe they can look at this and see if there's a way they can tweak it and make it a bit easier for Tidy Towns or people. It doesn't matter whether it's Tidy Towns or any other community organisation. They get things done a lot easier without so much maybe red tape. And having that money up front, you know, that's the killer.
Yeah.
You know, it means then that we have to keep that money, use it for that, and then wait if we want to do projects in the village that we want to work on. So it's just, and we're just hoping that it will actually be passed, you know. So we, like as John says, we do a lot of fundraising. Like last year we did a lot of fundraising, and I'm sure people were fed up looking at us, you know knocking at the doors and saying, oh no, you're back again, you know. But you know, it did go a long way to helping us. It helped us buy a lot of equipment that we hadn't got. So, and again, like this year, as John says, we're starting off our fundraising again, and that's with the tea afternoon on the 15th of September. And I've already gone out selling tickets. So again, to those of you who bought tickets off me already, a big thank you for your support.
Okay, and in relation to fundraising and people who maybe want to donate, do you have set up maybe a PayPal account or a Patreon? I'm sure people are familiar with Patreon, account where people could actually, let's say, log on and donate if they wished.
We did look at that, yeah. We looked at, what was the name? A GoFundMe page. Yeah, had a GoFundMe page for a while. We tried it. It wasn't a huge success, I'll be honest. We tried it, and maybe 10, 12 weeks later, we'd very little money into it. And the way GoFundMe works is if you don't take the money out, they'll close the account, so you have to take it out as quick as, you know, in a reasonable time frame. So yeah, we tried that, but yeah, we're going to maybe, again, that's one of those things that's up for the AGM. We'll take all ideas on board. I hadn't known Patreon was another one of those that was available. Yeah, like from our point of view, the old school way of doing it, of just pounding the streets and selling tickets for an event, it works for us. It's a solid way of doing it, and it's a great way to get out and meet people and chat to them and get ideas and get feedback too. So it's, and you know, meet the community and hear what people have to say and what queries and questions they have. So yeah, we're probably a bit old school in our fundraising, but we do find it works for us, you know.
Yeah, I think it's very important as a committee that we actually get out there and talk to the people in the community, because in you know, with us, with the way that we have to have so much finance, it's important to be out, as John said, to get out there and meet them and talk to them. Apart from the fact that they see it on the street, the work that we do is actually visible. There may be committees out there where their work is not so visible, so they, you know, it's not that they're not doing any work. There's, you know, other committees out there who, you know, do a lot of paperwork communication with the county council and try to get work done that way. But for us, meeting people and talking to them and getting their point of view out there and a vision that we have, but also to get some sort of vision back from the community as to what they want. Like that's an important role, you know, as well. As John says, the AGM is it'd be our first AGM. That'd be the place, you know, for people to come and give us their ideas and to get involved. So hopefully, when we do get the results back, we'll go over those results, and then we'll call our AGM so that we'll be in a position to give some sort of feedback on them.
Well, even in relation to, like, say, PayPal or Patreon, if people listen to this said, well, you know what, I can't really afford to donate, you know, 20 quid or 50 quid, €1 is all it takes. If people were to donate, even go onto PayPal and set up a reoccurring €1 PayPal payment to the Tidy Towns committee, either €1 per week or €1 per month, that's not going to break the bank. And over a period of time, that would make a difference. And if everyone done it, when you think about it, if everyone in the world donated €1 to some cause, it's a lot of money. One of the newest things that I've actually seen in the village is the picnic. Well, we've seen the picnic tables, but the wheelchair accessible picnic table. I was blown away when I seen that in your recent newsletter. I've never seen anything like that before, and I would have never. You know, sometimes you'll see something and you kind of go, "Geez, that's a great idea. Why didn't someone think of that before?" But who came up with that idea? Because it looks like it's such an easy thing to do. Just, you know, leave a space for a wheelchair, but it would benefit so many.
Yeah, so the old Tidy Towns, I'd imagine, were the ones to put in the old benches, and that was our starting point. We looked at them and said, well, like, they're not in great condition, what can we do? We actually got great help from Super Value and Kells, because Super Value sponsored the Tidy Towns nationally, and we said to them, look, we're looking to put in one or two new benches, would you give us some money? Super Value came on board and gave us some money towards it, and we just went and bought off a company down in Cavan, so we kept the business reasonably local. And we put it out on the Delvin Road because there's one person who lives out there who's actually a wheelchair person, you know, in a wheelchair. I don't know how the new politically correct way of describing these things is. But it's great. That's why we put it in that location. It is. It's an unusual feature, but it's brilliant. And, you know, it's not just that purpose. Anyone can sit it on or use it. So it's definitely something. And we've looked at, we've actually secured funding for two more. And we're looking at using recyclable plastic ones. So we're still kind of in the process of acquiring those and maybe looking for locations for them. But, yeah, they're a great idea. We think they're a great idea.
And not just for wheelchairs, I suppose. You could shove a pram or a buggy in there as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's right. I think when we were setting up the community garden, we were mindful about access for people. We now have a path the whole way around. And I know, like Snow's Quarry, who actually sponsors us, were a lot of that, 804, I think it's called, that we had to put down. I'd like to thank them for that. But also, the wheelchair, like, we do have a wheelchair sign, and we want to make that a wheelchair accessible area where people can come as well. We have a plot set aside for a person who wants to use it, and that's at the very front, at the entrance to the community garden. So, it was something that was always in the back of our minds, that accessibility for all people. We want to try and include as many people in the activities that go on, you know, within the Clonmel, but also where people might drive through and they might want to take a break, and they may have, you know, a person who needs a place like this. So down on the Clonmel Road, Delvin Road, Mullingar Road, we've. As John said, there's somebody living down there who may get some use out of it. But also, it's a very busy road where people might stop and be able to take a break.
And with all these, the benches and the picnic tables and et cetera, I'm guessing you obviously have to have insurance. So you did mention insurance earlier on. And for the likes of that now, is it expensive?
Well, our first insurance quote came in around £650 this time last year, and then Campion Insurance have been brilliant. They quoted us and they came in with the keenest quote. And going forward, then they've been a great help. So how it works is, if we come up with an idea, like, let's say we're buying extra lawnmowers, we just give them an email or a call and say, look, we've two extra lawnmowers, what's that going to add to our quote? And they'd send us back and they'd tell us, let's say, they'll check around, and they come back and say €20 or €30. So our insurance going forward this year has crept up to about €800. Insurance is a funny thing. It's something you have to have in place, definitely. You know, you can go overboard and be worrying about everything in terms of insurance, but sometimes you just have to accept, you know, you know, if you want to put in a bench, you can be worrying, God, what if someone falls and hurts themselves on the bench? But people have to take a little bit of personal responsibility. If you fall out and hurt yourself and bump your elbow off a bench, you have to just get up and rub your elbow and say, right, this is one of these things that happen. And, you know, there is a bit of a claim culture out there. Hasn't happened as yet, touch wood, thank God, we've had no issues like that. But we do have insurance. It's, like I said, it comes in around €800 going forward this year. It's a necessary evil in modern life. It's just one of those things you have to have. The funny one was we looked at buying a tractor lawnmower. Yeah. And the tractor lawnmower we found was about €3,000. And to insure a tractor lawnmower is about €3,000. So that knocked us back a bit.
Yeah.
Big shock for us. So we just stuck with push mowers. They're €20 or €30 a year to insure. It was a no-brainer from our point of view. But, you know, those sort of things, you know, what can you do? It is what it is. Insurance is out there. It has to be got. It has to be paid for. Like I said, the great thing about the grant from the Westmeath County Council that comes out once a year, it's about €1,000. So straight away, that box is ticked. And, you know, we're delighted Westmeath County Council to help us in that way.
Yeah, the grant that we get last year that enabled us to get our insurance because we had no money. So when that came in, that just went straight to them. And, you know, insurance is something that we think about a lot. Because anything that we do go to do, we have to think about those, you know, the implications. But overall, as John says, we've no issues this year. We had the picnic benches out. We fall out altogether now. We've the two seats out, recyclable seats that we have. There's been no issues with them. There's been no vandalism to them. And, you know, that's a great sign for us. So, it, you know, it's a sign that, you know, that tells us that not everything is vandalised.
Yeah.
You know, people do respect and people do see the need to have street furniture, you know, or landscape, I think it's landscape, what's it? Streetscape, I think we call it now. So it's important that we do provide as much stem as possible. Not to overdo it in the village, but to have enough where people who do go on long walks might want to take a rest. And as we said, to try and facilitate as many people as possible.
Okay, and just in relation to the likes of the benches, not forgetting as well that we do have a local men's shed here in Clonmelin where we are actually today. And the men's shed are always up for new ideas and are always willing to lend a hand or build something if it needs to be built, and there's a great camaraderie in the men's shed as well. I'm a member myself, and I think it's an asset to any community. So let's not forget our local men's shed as well. They're always willing to lend a hand and come on board.
Thanks very much. Yeah, keep that in mind. We'll be knocking on the door, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, men's shed meeting Clonmelin every Thursday morning. You also have, John, the Tidy Towns newsletter as well, and that goes out quarterly as well, and it's full of great information, and it does showcase a lot of the work that has been done and a lot of the equipment that has actually been bought as well. So it's very transparent, so people can actually see where donations are actually going and what it's getting used for. Who came up with the idea of the newsletter? I know John Wilson, I know you are the man who does all, I think you put it together.
Yeah, the newsletter, we felt it was an important thing. As you say, it gives a lot of information and it's a way of reaching people. The newsletter for us is it's a very important thing. It means that we can send it, give the newsletter out to people outside the area who don't actually get to see what's going on, a bit more news. What I've been doing over the last couple of days is, the last three nights, I've been going around houses looking for email addresses so that I can actually send it out to a lot more people to get a bigger audience. Environment friendly as well, you know, it means we're not using no paper.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for the environment as well. So, a lot of information, a bit of time. John also works on this with me as well. Like, I will do it. I will, it's not just my ideas or what's in it. I send it over to John. John will have a look at it and he will add, I do ask John to put stuff in or take stuff out, to try and improve its presentation. Because, presentation, for us is a big thing. We don't just want any newsletter. We want something that's, precise, that's effective. That shows, the work that we do, and we want it done well. So the two of us work on this, and Matt gets an input as well. I don't just pull her out there. We everybody gets to see it. The three of us get to see it before it goes out.
And I have to say, it's not just a one-page leaflet either. I mean, it's very well put together. There's a lot of information in it. And as you say, looking for email addresses, there is a downloadable PDF version available also, if anyone wishes to download it, going back to your first edition, it is on the community website, clonmelon.com. And we can also maybe set up something there as well. If people want to subscribe to it, then obviously they can enter email addresses and that information can go to you. Obviously, keeping in mind the GDPR legislation and all that, and, you know. But yeah, if people are interested, they can obviously contact you as well through the Facebook page and just drop an email as well.
Yeah, that'd be a great help to us. As we said, like trying to get information out to everybody and let them see what's going on, and to let them see where, as I said earlier on, we do a lot of fundraising to let them see where that money is going. We think, as part of the committee, we believe that people should see where their money is going. It's not our money.
Yes.
It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the community. We appreciate the fact that they do give us a lot of money. And it's important that, they know that the money is being well spent. We do shop around and we do try to save money. We do try, any of the work that we do take on, we do try to get it sponsored. And it means then that the money that we do have raised, we can put to other projects as such. So, yeah, newsletter is a big thing. It's very important. And hopefully going forward, our newsletter can go into 10 pages sometimes. It's not because there's that much volume. It's just we put photographs in. And again, it's to let people see where the work is being done. And it's not just me. It's John and Mark that has an input into this as well.
Great stuff. And just in relation to the newsletter, if, let's say, people wanted to advertise in the newsletter, is that an avenue that you've looked at whereby people could, say, a local business could have an advert in there?
Yeah, absolutely. We're open to that idea. So anyone out there that wants to contact us, definitely tidytownsclamellan@gmail.com. Send us an email if you have interest. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a welcome thing. Yeah. We'll be willing to look at it and put it into a newsletter. And maybe going forward, I might be able to take a look, or I should say we'll be able to take a look at the newsletter and see can we improve the format, how we present it, and maybe change it a little to incorporate anyone who wishes to advertise into it.
I think it's important to mention as well, some people may donate money and think, that's grand, I'm kind of paying now for John Wilson and John Anderson to go out there and keep the village tidy on my behalf, but you're not getting paid for this. This is still voluntary, and any money that's raised goes into buying the goods, the services, the equipment, the insurance, etc. So, people who may hand over €20 and go, that's grand, I've done my bit. Well, your money will help to buy the services or buy a tin of paint, but no one gets paid for this.
No, you're right there. Everything is voluntary. I saw volunteers out there who work, doing this type of work. They do rely on the donations, and some people may, feel that's the way they contribute. They give a few bob. But when it comes down to it, we do still do need more volunteers to come on board. Where we appreciate the money that they give, it doesn't stop there. It's ongoing work. It's, as we said earlier, it's 7 days. It could be 7 days a week if you want it to be 7 days a week. It could be less. The more people we have, the more jobs are able to be spread out, the more projects we can work on as well. And we can only do projects with the amount of, in regard to the amount of funding that we get. So we do appreciate the funding, but we would also appreciate people coming out to give us a hand as well.
Feet on the street, so to speak. You mentioned interaction with other groups earlier on. I'm just wondering what sort of response, seeing as though the Tidy Towns hasn't been in Clonmelon for over 10 years and all of a sudden now we do have a Tidy Towns committee, how have other groups reacted to this committee? Have they reacted favourably, or has there been any issues?
Yeah, it's been very positive. Like last year we were only getting going, so we took the attitude that we'd try and make connections as quick as we could. This year, early on in the year, we identified, I think it was 9 or 10 local groups. We sent each of them in a letter simply saying, look, we're here, give us a shout, we'd love to work together. Then Market Square came back to us, did brilliant work. A lot of the negative feedback on last year's marking scheme was to do with the Market Square, and they've done great work in covering up gas bottles, tidying the place up generally. It's a fantastic facility. The Market Square is here hundreds of years, and it's it's a beautiful place and has so much potential. It's so much has been done and so much more potential for it. Actually, we're looking to paint the railings out on the Market Square in the next few weeks, weather permitting. We're just waiting for a decent gap in the weather. We've already had them power washed at this stage. So that's one kind of community group. The community centre group, we sent them a letter. We just asked them to do one or two small things to kind of tidy up the building generally, and they've gotten work going on that, so they've absolutely come on board. The steering committee are kind of an unheralded group in the community. They've done huge work. They've had so many meetings, hours and hours of their time, 10 or 12 people giving up hours of their time to produce a plan for the village going forward, and it's not just even short term, it's 5, 10, 15 years ahead of time. Paula Coonan there deserves a mention. She's a great person to pull things together. She's been on the steering committee and the community council, so we communicate a lot with Paula, and she's great support and great help. I'm trying to think of what's, St. Paul's. So we've been over and back with St. Paul's. They've done a huge amount of work up in the GA pitch. So anyone that's not into GA, it's we have great facilities here. If you're anyway interested, go up and see what's going on. All very nice people there. Marie Clark, Eugene Dolan, all really nice, helpful, you know, approachable people. So we've talked at St. Paul's and a few different bits and pieces. The county council actually helped us with the entrance to St. Paul's. It's actually one of the funny things that was there was there used to be a barrier there. And it was an orange barrier, so originally it was a barrier, then the barrier arm broke, and then there was just a little orange unit, we called the county council. They came out, removed it. That was there the guts of 20 years. It was a real eyesore.
Yeah.
So the county council have helped us and St. Paul's in that sense. I'm trying to think of, I hope I don't miss any groups now. Who else has been on board?
We also have a computer room called a dungeon that was set up about 2 years ago now. That's flying now. So, you know, like, community groups do come on board. As John said, we did send out letters to when we first started as a way of communicating and let people know that we were actually here. And going forward, I can see where a lot more cross-community cooperation is going to take place here. It's starting to get there now. People are starting to communicate a lot better. We don't only have one newsletter, we have two. I think the steering group have their newsletter that comes out once a month.
That's right, the Fifth Province.
The Fifth Province. So that's another way of, you know, local businesses even to get highlighted in the village.
Yeah.
And the surrounding area, what's going on. So, you know, a lot of people do communicate. Some people might think that we don't, but, you know, it's changing. It's getting there. It's a lot better for the village. It's a lot better for the people that communication does take place, the cross-community cooperation takes place. It's better for the county council as well, because they can see that, you know, we're interested in our village, and they can see the work that goes on. Like, I would have to say, just mention on the newsletter, is that I do send it in to the county council, to all the different departments that we communicate with. So it's just to let them see that the work, and we got great feedback from them. We have the PPN part of the county council, and they've actually used a section out of our summer edition newsletter in it. So it highlights the community garden. So, you know, the fact that they, you know, took a segment over and used it, it's, you know, tells us that it's, you know, they do take notice, but it's also a great way for us in Tidy Towns and for the community to let them see that people are starting to pull together here, and you know, going forward we can do a lot more.
Okay, we do actually have a copy as well of the three-year plan for the Tidy Towns Committee. If anyone is interested in looking at the three-year plan, because we're not going to get time to talk about it now, but if you go on to clonmelon.com, you will see a link for the three-year plan, so you can actually download it and have a look, see what's been done and see what has yet to be done. It's interesting reading. Just finally, what's on the wish list for the Tidy Towns Committee?
Wish list. Okay, going forward, we want to see our village improve in immense ways, you know, in big ways. As I stated, like, we would like to see a lot more cooperation between all the different organisations here. From the Tidy Towns point of view, we want to be able to sit down and come up with a three-year plan again. Our three-year plan changes as we evolve, the whole plan changes. So, also, a wish list would be to get more people involved. As I said, a young Tidy Towns, that would be a big thing for us.
Yeah.
If we get the young people involved, then once we have young people involved going forward, Tidy Towns won't die away this time. It means then that there's a new generation going forward, a new generation wants to have that interest. It's just up to us. You know, we've started. And we would like to see it continue. So, you know, as we say in our newsletters, Clonmelon doesn't belong to us, it belongs to everybody. So everybody should take an active interest in what goes on around them. It's not just for us to provide seating arrangements or nice new flowers and plants and make it look nice, but it's also the responsibility of parents to, you know, to educate their kids about the village, to educate them about their history here. Again, you know, 20 towns takes in heritage, and we're working on a few things on heritage now. So wish lists, you know, they're just a few of the things. And obviously, another big wish list is the more funding we get, the more work we can do, and the more projects that we can work on, meaningful projects, not just, you know, we don't want to take on a small project that's, you know, doesn't look well. We tend to look at projects and think them out and see what the benefits are and the pros and cons. So if a lot more people come on board, I'm sure there's a lot more ideas out there, and the more people involved, the more work gets involved, the more recognition the village gets, not just 30 towns or individual groups. But, you know, that's our aim, and that's our vision. The whole village gets recognition for what goes on here.
And everyone needs to get involved, because as you can probably tell from listening to this, that it's not just local people, it's not just, as we call, I might probably call myself a blow-in as well, it's a mix of everyone that's pulling together for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, two people, Alan and Lorena, out in Kahlua Castle have given us huge support in every way. They've given us access to St. John's, the church there in the middle of the village. And that was of great benefit to us last year with a beautiful Christmas concert that we're hoping to hold again this year. With Alan and Lorena, they're hoping to have a loop walk, and we'd love to see that connected into the village, 7 or 8 kilometres for people, walkers, joggers, runners, to be able to head out there into the countryside, and it would add fantastically to our village, and maybe more projects like that that kind of enhance the village in, you know, other ways. So yeah, just that the village wouldn't just, as John said, tidy towns kind of die away. Our wish list is that more people come on board and, you know, help push it forward and come on board with new ideas. Like, there's myself and John and Martin there and a few more with great ideas, but the more the merrier. We're happy to take on people, ideas, financial support, you know, we're open to everything really.
Okay, we've been talking to John Wilson and John Anderson from Clonmelon, a Tidy Towns Committee. Just in closing, if people want to contact either of you lads or hit you up on Facebook, how can they do that?
Yeah, so like the simplest thing is if you see us walking out and about in the town, give us a tap on the shoulder, introduce yourself, don't be afraid. Tell us what you can do, what you can't do, what you'd like to do, or what any way you can help. That's the most straightforward way. We've our email address, clonmelon.tidytowns@gmail.com, and then we've a Facebook page. So whatever way you want to contact us, we're always there anyway.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.